Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Ducati with Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. A little chilly, but I'm good. I'm ready for all the snow on the ground. Like all 2 centimeters of it. It bothers me.
You don't like this football weather?
I was in Dallas last Thursday. It was 80 degrees. And so that's football weather, too. You know, you can play football when it's sunshine and it's warm out. I've seen that happen before in my lifetime.
It's easy to pick Super Bowls from places like that.
Yeah. Do you like it?
Here's what I like. Well, you know, I would like it to be like 63 degrees at all times.
63, huh?
I like to wear hoodies. I like to wear running suits. I like to be comfortable. You can get me into the 70s a little bit. Once you start getting past 73s, I don't need that. I don't need it anymore. I'm not looking for that. I'm gonna be very comfortable. But I'll take a chill in the air. I like to wear coats. I like to wear my stocking cap. Now, when it gets below freezing, if you're talking about under 35, I don't need that. But I like a crisp, cold air.
Okay.
If it's a fluffy snow, I'll take that. I don't want ice. I don't want sleet, especially now I can't fall down. I could be right back under a surgeon's scalpel if that happens. So I've been warned. I got to be very careful because I've been known to fall, and so I got to be careful. So I don't need any slick stuff on the ground. I'm with you on that, but I don't mind a nice chill in the air. It's refreshing to me, Jeff.
The Bay Area kind of guy. Huh? You like that kind of temperate environment?
There we go.
Okay.
Whatever. I don't know what kind of guy I am, but I'm something. But I don't. You know, but I tell you what, my daughters were super pissed off that school wasn't canceled. There wasn't any snow, so I could tell you that.
You got to tell them, like, go back to the old school days. Remember we had to actually get up in the morning and wait to the newscast to see if school was canceled?
Right.
You had to have, like, the kind of snow where you couldn't see above. It was, like, almost up to your neck. Like, that's
just
when they
canceled
school.
Cross your fingers that you would see your school go across on that crawl on the news. Oh, look, we just saw St. John's grade school. We're staying home.
Yeah, got to get texts like the afternoon before. School's canceled. Don't show up.
Right. That's exactly right. They're very lucky. They just don't get it. Okay, a surprise last night. Washington upsets Philly and gives them their first loss. Were you surprised at the outcome last night?
A little bit. Washington played better than I think that they actually are. But they ran the ball effectively. They were committed to running it, and Philadelphia without Jordan Davis, that big defensive tackle they got from Georgia in the draft, is a lot more vulnerable to the run these days. But ultimately, Philadelphia wasn't going to go undefeated, and there was going to be some team that was going to get that victory. And you know, the NFC East, NFC East and the AFC East, surprisingly, have become very competitive. But, you know, I think you look at that game. I mean, the Eagles had some turnovers where it was just like they were uncharacteristic turnovers. I mean, you're going to have turnovers, but they had 3 turnovers all season, which is an astonishing number.
That's wild.
And to have 4 in that game, you know, 1 was on that crazy face mask play. You had the Brandon Graham play at the end, which wasn't a turnover, but was still kind of a funky play. The Quez Watkins catch where he catches a 50-yard pass and gets up and starts running. And I heard Nick Sirianni, their head coach, talking about that play and how they coached them to be mindful of that's when you're most likely to lose the football when you're trying to get up. And so, look, I think that Philadelphia with four turnovers, had a chance to still win that game at the end. So I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I mean, I think they're still the best team in the NFC.
Okay, so we're going to play a little game of reaction. Is Marco Marquez at the controls? Sure he didn't step out for coffee. Is he ready to go? Are you pushing buttons? Are you locked in? You got your seatbelt on, Marco?
I'm sitting down, but I don't know what.
There we go.
Nah, you know what? I won't finish that.
We're going to play some comments for Jeff Chedia, and then Jeff and Nate will react to what we play. So talking about the game last night. First, let's hear from Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni, because a lot of people were talking about the unnecessary roughness play that was called on the Eagles against quarterback Taylor Heinicke when he was kneeling down and he was still hit, and then some people said he flopped and this and that. A lot of arguing on Twitter, and so here's what Sirianni said about the play.
Hey, that's not what lost us the football game. So I'd have to watch it on tape again. I saw it live. I kind of looked down the field. But they got a tough job, and, you know, I'll look at it. And but that's not at all what lost us the football game. Yeah, shoot. I mean, that's pretty simple, right? The three turnovers lost us the game. The time of possession loses you the game. We lost it together. Offense, defense, special teams, coaching, we lost it together. That's what lost us the game.
And I agree with him, because last night there was a headline, or at least for the video clip of the play, it was unnecessary roughness flag helps Commanders upset Eagles. And so they were calling it a very important play. What was your reaction to that play?
Oh, I didn't think I agree with him. It didn't decide the game. I mean, they had multiple opportunities to win, and the turnovers, as they always are, were the biggest reason why they lost the game. But you know, I just think it's been a very strange year for that kind of call. And I didn't think they needed to call in that situation. By the letter of the law, yeah, you can call it. You can say that he was, you know, shouldn't have touched him, had enough time to slow up. But I don't think he was trying to hit the guy either. I think he just was overzealous, saw an opportunity, and, you know, got too close. But if you're calling that stuff now, I mean, forget about it. We're light years away from the Chris Jones. What game was that? Was that I forget the game it was. Who did he hit?
When he was talking to Matt Ryan?
No.
When he landed on the guy and took the ball away. Got the sack fumble. The game that they lost to the Bills, right?
That wasn't the Bills game.
What game was it?
Was that the Raiders game? It was a Raiders game. It was Derek Carr.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was a game they won, now that I remember it.
Yeah,
It was a primetime game. It was Derek Carr.
So we're light years away from that kind of stuff. But I just still feel like in that moment, I don't see. I think it's more of a situation with Chris Jones. I can understand where you're thinking, hey, that guy might have gotten hurt the way he landed on him. It looked horrible. In that moment, it was almost like he barely touched the guy, and you're calling it. And just I thought it didn't lose the game, but it wasn't necessary either. A necessary call.
Do you agree, Nate Buchady?
I don't know. I guess I don't know what necessary is, but to me it was like, and I don't really know, I'll confess this, I don't know the full letter of the law on this. Obviously, if you slide, you're giving yourself up as a quarterback, and then they're not supposed to hit you, right?
But I've seen guys touched when they've been slid. Yeah. I've seen guys go flying over the top of guys, and flags aren't thrown.
Yeah, but it's like, that's theoretically the rule, right? And so, I don't know, now if you dive head first, you're still fair game, right? That's not the same thing as sliding. I don't know what the rule is when the quarterback drops back and takes a knee like that. Like, that wasn't like a kneel down play. That was like he's going to get sacked, so he dropped to a knee. I mean, I don't know. But
how many times have you seen a quarterback where a play's blown dead, the quarterback takes the ball and just spikes it into the ground, and someone comes and just grabs him?
Yeah, but like, this was
that's
more
what
than that.
That kind of
nah,
play.
I mean, they hit him. I mean, he got hit, you know? Like, and it was well after he had gone down. I mean, it wasn't like it was, oh, man, right as he went to the ground, you were already in the motion to tackle him. He took a few steps and hit him. And I think you're right. It was probably he just got overexcited or whatever, you know. But it's like
– touched him.
It was more than a touch. The first guy touched him. The second guy hit him, you know, hit him. And to me, it's like – if a guy's out of bounds, how hard do you have to hit him when he's out of bounds for it to be a late hit? You know, like it's a late hit. It's a late hit.
They called a bad late hit in that game too.
Yeah, and
the guy on the sideline, the guy got cleaned up, and they called it a late hit, and he was still in bounds.
Yeah, and I think that's tough because now, like, I do think. Look, we live in a world now where the defensive players get no benefit of the doubt most of the time. Yeah. And you get put in a tough spot because that's where Patrick Mahomes sometimes will run towards the sidelines, and guys will pull up. Because they know that they don't want to get that late hit call, and then he stays in bounds and jukes up the field, and so it is certainly a disadvantage for the defense in most of these cases. But what is kind of weird though is that like there's a lack of consistency to a lot of the calls because then you get guys getting knocked out in the Chiefs game on plays that people think should have been targeting calls or whatever that don't get flagged. That makes it hard because there's a lack of consistency.
In the pool
there.
Report, they said that Brandon Graham led with his head and shoulders on that play. Do you agree with that? That was part of why they threw the flag, that he was leading with his head. I'm like,
no.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. But I will say this. Like I told Steven this, I didn't think that Cisco led with his head on either of the hits that he put on the Chiefs wide receivers.
Yeah.
I do think he launched into MVS, which is supposed to be a penalty, even if it doesn't have to be with your head. If you launch into a defenseless receiver, that's supposed to be a penalty, and it wasn't. I actually thought the one on Juju Smith-Schuster, like Smith-Schuster's helmet hit him.
Yeah.
Like he was there, and he kind of stopped and pulled up. And that one led to a terrible concussion. So I don't know. It's just there was another one. The one I was telling Steven about this weekend that I can't believe nobody talked about was the fumble by Ayuk in the game. I don't know if you're watching the 49ers-Chargers game. Darwin James hit him to force a fumble, and it was helmet on helmet. I mean, they banged helmets together, caused a fumble, and nobody even mentioned it. And then later in the game, the guy for the 49ers gets thrown out of the game because they hit helmet to helmet. And so that's the part where it's like, I don't think I understand what the full rules are on this stuff.
Yeah. Okay, Steven, you can weigh in.
Nah, I kind of like you guys arguing about this. This entertains me. But no, we have some other topics to hear. I like to hear from Alex Smith because I think he's a good analyst in here. He says that but even though Washington won last night, so everyone hates Daniel Snyder. Ownership makes playing in Washington miserable.
When you get to Washington, like it's just not that. It's the total opposite. Like there's just it seems like a never-ending stream of questions you get asked from the media about stuff that's coming out of the other side of the building. This never-ending distraction, and then it's hard too with the fan base because they're a fan base that wants so bad to support you as a player, but they also have such a hard time with the owner and have had such a hard time with the owner and ownership. So there's this like split dilemma, right? They don't want to come support you at FedEx Field, right? It's probably the worst game day experience in the country.
Well, Alex Smith certainly didn't hold back there. Your reaction to his thoughts about playing in Washington.
Well, I mean, he's 100% accurate. I mean, all that is true. I've been to FedEx Field many a times, and it is a horrible place to go. It's a horrible place to get into. It's a horrible place to leave. It's antiquated. You know, there is, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, we always have fun with the fans here, and people, you know, are very passionate about this team. There's no crazier fan base, I think, than the Redskins fan base. Raiders may be close, but when I still remember being in D.C. like 10, 15 years ago, and like they will break into, they will like newscasts for like random trades. Like if Kadarius Toney got traded to the Chiefs, like that would be the first thing on the newscast in a town where politics obviously dominate. And so to me, it's always been weird. And I've been there when Steve Spurrier's been the head coach. I've been there when other guys have been in charge, and it's a very, very bizarre operation. And then I do understand it. There's so much dysfunction around it. There's a lot of things that even from the outside looking in, we talk about it, we discuss it, but when you're there, it is every day in your face and it touches every part of that organization. And there is it's just a really weird place to be.
They're gonna vote that owner out?
It feels as if it's going down that road. I mean, when Jim Irsay, the Colts owner, came out and made the comments about he probably needs to go, and you're starting to look at different financial institutions to analyze what you could get and what it's worth. I mean, it's pretty much clear that and you're losing money. I mean, that's, I say it all the time, the most marketable franchises in the NFL, Cowboys, Steelers, Giants, Packers, Redskins, or Commanders now. And that's always been the case. Those are the sexiest names you can put out. You could probably throw the Bears in there at six if you wanted to, but those are some of the most iconic organizations. And when you're there, you feel that. And when those organizations aren't making money like they should, like they're losing, they're leaving money on the table. They're not losing money, but they're leaving money on the table. And that's what ticks owners off more than anything. So, yeah, I think they're bad for business now.
All right, we have a couple of more clips before we take a break that I wanted to get your reaction to. All right, next up, let's play. We've played this a couple of times today. This is ESPN NFL senior writer Jeremy Fowler with the latest on Odell Beckham Jr.
Certainly, by the end of the month, we'd have some clarity. I would think around Thanksgiving, closer to early December, for him to get himself to get a chance to get healthy. Contenders are on the table. I don't get the sense after asking around that he's limited things to, you know, a small list of three teams, let's say. But they have to be a contender. That's why the Rams are tricky, right? Like a lot of people I talked to thought a month ago that he was going back to L.A. Well, they're losing, and it kind of insulted him with their initial offer, it sounds like, months back. So that one's not looking great. Now, maybe if Cooper Kupp's out for a long time, they can persuade him, you know, to come and be the guy. But, I have heard a decent amount of Chiefs. I was at a game last week and heard, you know, multiple, like, agents and people talking about the Chiefs for some reason. So I think they're at least one to watch right now. They just did a Kadarius Toney deal. They have a lot of options. I don't know if they want to stretch the salary cap and go get him.
Jeff Chidia, your reaction.
Well, I think the important thing he said was agents. Like, I haven't heard anybody inside the Chiefs, like, really pushing this. And I've asked directly. And so if maybe I'm being lied to, but I don't think that's the case. Would they take him if it was workable? Certainly. But this feels more like, and it's always felt this way, this feels more like a guy trying to drum up his market, trying to build it up. And I think Dallas is where he's going to end up ultimately. That's where the most smoke is. That's where you've heard the owner come out and say, yeah, he'd look good in this helmet. And you've heard Michael Irvin make comments about it. The thing about this that I keep saying, this is a man who had ACL surgery back in March. And there are still players who were hurt before him who are not playing, who had the same operation. Tre'Davious White, Bills Pro Bowl corner, got hurt a couple months before he did. He's not playing. Chase Young, who got hurt before he did, is still not playing. I don't see how a guy who has had that operation playing that position is going to come in and impact any franchise wherever he goes. Second thing is, everybody has hyped up what he did in the Super Bowl in the last whatever month with the Rams. But before that point, his productivity was very marginal. The third thing is, he's a pain in the butt when he starts to get sideways with people. And so I just don't see, again, if he's going to go someplace, he's going to go someplace for the platform, for the status, and for the money. And I just don't see where those three things, he's not going to come here and get that opportunity he got with the Rams. And he only got it with the Rams because Robert Woods went down with a knee injury. Let's be honest about that, too. Like, he wasn't even supposed to be a big part of that. So, yeah, that's how I feel about it. I just think it's over. Wherever he goes is overrated, and I don't think it's going to be the Chiefs.
Nate Buchanan, any thoughts?
Well, the phrase that I heard there that turns me off right away was when he said if they want to stress their salary cap. I don't want to stress my salary cap for OBJ for all the reasons that Jeff just pointed out, especially for a team that's the best offensive team in the league already. I don't see, you know, you brought in Kadarius Toney. He clearly had already, you know, gotten sideways with one organization, but to me it's a lot easier to picture him falling in line when he was in a really bad situation for himself. Now he's landed in a good situation. He's a young guy that's unproven. Maybe it's easier to get a guy like that. Hey, like, look, dude, this, you're going to do it our way. You're going to be, you know, and get him to buy in. OBJ to me seems the kind of guy that's, I mean, he reminds me of T.O. a little bit. Like, wherever he goes, that big ego is coming with him. He isn't going to change for anybody. And I don't see the need to stress your salary cap and then add that kind of potential issue, particularly for a guy that you don't even know if he's going to be 100% at any point this season, you know? So, yeah, I'm with Jeff. I'm not really that interested personally, but I wasn't interested in him last year and he went and won a Super Bowl. So, but no, I wouldn't be interested if I were the Chiefs.
Okay. Last one. Let's hear from ESPN NFL front office insider, Mike Tannenbaum. Who talks about who the best team in the AFC is.
Yeah, I think it's them and everybody else. You know, and a couple of weeks ago we would have said, oh, you know, it's Buffalo, and Buffalo goes into Kansas City, and, you know, look, Josh Allen has to play better. We talked about Buffalo's secondary issues, and right now Kansas City, even without Tyreek Hill, just looks like the most complete team, and, you know, it's hard to say that there's a better football player on the planet right now than Patrick Mahomes.
Hey, one other thing real quick on the OBJ thing. Dallas seems perfect for him.
Yeah.
They need a second wide receiver, and just for every reason, he seems perfect for Dallas.
Let's talk more about what Mike Tannenbaum said.
There you go.
Well, I agree with what he said. I think Mahomes is he's running away with the MVP right now. It's with what happened with Jalen Hurts last night and with Josh Allen over the weekend and the way he's played, especially over the last three games. I mean, he's been the best player in the league by far. So I don't know where that's not even a question. Maybe Tua has a chance, and maybe Josh Allen, if he plays well in the last eight games, will he goes off. But if Mahomes stays where he's at this level, yeah, he's going to walk away with the MVP. I still think Buffalo is going to be the AFC representative in the Super Bowl. I feel like if you look at that game that they played the other day, it reminded me a lot of the game the Chiefs played in 2019 against the Titans. Mahomes was coming back from that knee injury, and they dominated the game, then had a wild finish and lost, and they were 6-4, and they had to figure some things out, and they didn't lose a game the rest of the year. And I think every team that wants to win a championship, as much as we talk about it, like we talk about college football, where it's just there's so much dominance in like a Georgia or an Alabama. Ultimately, in the NFL, you're going to go through some difficult times if you want to win a championship. You're going to go through difficult times anyway. But if you really want to win a championship, and you look at where the Rams were last year, they were 7-4, lost three straight games in the second half. I was with them at the Green Bay game when they got killed by Green Bay, and they were in disarray. And they were like, we got to fix this. I remember the Buccaneers 2 years ago, 7-5. Chiefs had just gone in there and ripped them apart. Their offense was chaotic and erratic, and they never lost again. The Chiefs I just mentioned. I mean, so I think that ultimately that, yeah, the Chiefs, they're playing the best right now, but I still think if Buffalo wants to be a champion, this is their moment of truth. And what they do in the next eight games will decide what they are.
What if I told you Buffalo's not even going to win their division?
I think they will. I think they will beat. I think they probably won't lose another division game this year.
Little Birdie told me they're not.
Think about. You know what's really interesting about Buffalo is that when you talk about they've lost. Let me make the points out. They've lost a game by 2 points, a game by 3 points, and a game by 3 points. In the last game they lost, they had to have the quarterback fumble on the goal line. They had to have a ridiculous 4th-and-18 one-handed catch, which that guy is one of the top five players in the NFL right now.
He's the best wide receiver in the NFL. But Josh Allen likes throwing interceptions in the end zone also.
Yeah, so. And that's a problem. But I think that – and it's been a problem that's been coming – since that Green Bay game. Because, and I watched into that Green Bay game, and he threw a couple picks in the red zone and was like, ah, nobody cared because they were killing the Packers. But, you know, he's really – this is, and this is where Mahomes this year, you really see his own growth. He doesn't throw those kind of passes as often as he used to. And even though Allen is putting up a lot of interceptions, Mahomes has thrown a lot of interceptable footballs in his previous 4 years. And what he doesn't do now, maybe a couple times he's done it. He did in the Bills game once. He doesn't put the ball in harm's way nearly as much. And when you're a Josh Allen or a Patrick Mahomes, you have so much confidence in what you can do and so much belief that it's going to happen because you're doing it, that you do put the football in positions that you shouldn't. And I think that's – I remember when – the AFC Championship game ended last year, and somebody asked Mahomes about the last interception he threw that in overtime, and he was like, I'd throw it again. And that was the wrong answer. And I think he spent this entire offseason realizing that is the wrong answer. The right answer is don't turn the ball over. Like, give yourself an opportunity. And Josh Allen, if they want to win a Super Bowl, he better figure it out. Because if he still thinks that the way he did when he threw that last pass he threw against the Vikings, they won't win.
This is Jeff Chedia, who says Patrick Mahomes running away with the MVP. That's the only thing I heard. We will take a break back after this on WHB.
Did you know that Greenlight Dispensary was voted the number one dispensary in Missouri and the number one loyalty program in Missouri? It doesn't surprise me one bit. If you're looking for the best cannabis experience in Kansas City, go to Greenlight Dispensary and visit them online at greenlightdispensary.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, Jeff. We've got a showdown in the AFC West on Sunday Night Football, and this is the Chargers' last stand. Even if they win the game, it's going to be tough for them to win the division. But if the Chiefs win, this thing's over because that'll be a three-game lead with the tiebreaker. Good night, Irene. So long, sister. It is gone. There she goes. And gone, AFC West. So do you think the Chargers have one more last gasp effort to try to make this a race?
I don't see it. I don't see it with what they – I mean, you watched them. I think they played valiantly against the 49ers, mm-hmm. but it's just so apparent that they just don't have the firepower right now with their injuries. I mean – you don't have Joey Bosa. You don't have Rashawn Slater. Mike Williams might play, right? They said there's a chance he might play this week. Keenan Allen, you don't know if he's playing. Somebody else got hurt in that game. Another receiver got hurt. I forget who it was, or a tight end. And so I think at some point, like, yeah, I think they've got a chance of still being a wild card team if they get those players back in second half. And then I think they're a good enough team to do that, but – just the way they're coming into this game right now, it's hard to see it. I mean, they always play the Chiefs tough, so I would expect it to be a close game. But you don't have that many playmakers, that many – I mean, that's four Pro Bowl players you're missing.
It's tight end Gerald Everett is listed as day-to-day now as
Everett got hurt. So, I mean, you're talking about your three best receivers aren't playing, and, I mean, if they want to come in here and do what the Commanders did – against the Eagles and run the ball 40 times, I think that gives them a chance. But yeah, I think it's just, you know, it's too big a hill to climb at a time when the Chiefs, as you said, they know what this game can mean to their opportunity to win the division.
And so with the Chiefs, I mean, look, like I said, if they win this game, it's over, but they will continue to be motivated because they're trying to hold on to that number one seed. With the Chargers, let's say they lose. What do you think, they'll still have a chance to earn a playoff spot, or do you think the AFC West is going to end up being one playoff participant and that's it?
I think that there are I think there are four teams right now that you would say, well, it depends on what happens to the AFC North. I would say whoever wins the AFC North, I think the Bills, like I said, win the AFC East. I feel like Miami's going to make the playoffs. I think it comes down to the Jets, the Bengals, the Ravens, and the Chargers for those last two spots.
The Ravens are going to be in.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
Their schedule is very cooperative.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So
the Patriots are 5-4. Are you putting them in the conversation at all?
But the problem with the AFC East is too many of these teams have to play each other still.
Patriots play the Bills twice still.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills have only played two division games. So you're talking about they still have to play the Dolphins again, still have to play the Jets again, have to play the Patriots twice. And so you legitimately could have a lot of those teams taking some L's there. And I feel like the Jets are the riskiest team in that group to put into, just because of the quarterback. I think every team that I mentioned, they've got a good quarterback. And so if I'm picking the three AFC wildcard teams right now, we'll just say the Patriots, Ravens, Titans, and Chiefs win their divisions. I'll take Bengals, Dolphins, and Chargers.
There is becoming a pretty clear separation between like the winning teams and the losing teams in the AFC right now. I think for a while there, we were all thinking like it's just the Chiefs and the Bills and then a whole bunch of teams. But now all of a sudden, those teams you just mentioned are kind of separating themselves, aren't they? To where I feel like if you start to picture what the playoffs are going to look like, there's going to be some good teams in the AFC in the playoffs with good quarterbacks.
Yeah, you're not going to see the Steelers. Aging Ben Roethlisberger, just waiting to be lit up,
which we did,
and discarded. Yeah,
right. Because I mean, like, if you picture it, like it a game against the Bengals or the Ravens early in the playoffs is a tough game.
The Dolphins,
that's a really tough game.
Well, I mean, just look right now. Okay, to me, and I've said this before, the Jets don't belong. They're good, but with that quarterback, that's they're not part of that group. Even though they're the 5 seed right now,
It's a tough.
They would not scare me in the playoffs. But right, if you look at the way the seeds fall right now, the Chiefs, the Dolphins have a dynamic offense, and they added Bradley Chubb. The Titans, they're not good enough to get the Super Bowl, but they're good enough to upset someone's wagon.
Yeah.
They're good enough to knock somebody off. I just don't think they can get to the big dance. They can't win three games in a row in the playoffs. The Ravens, as they start to get healthy, they've got a great schedule down the stretch. They're going to pile up wins. I love the addition of Roquan Smith. I think they'll be more dangerous than the Titans in the playoffs. The Jets, no. Buffalo's the 6 seed. New England, I don't think they'll be the 7 seed. I'm looking at the Bengals to move up into the top 7. The Chargers, I like better than the Jets and the Patriots. The other question was, what would the Browns be able to hold on long enough to where when Deshaun Watson came back, they'd be within striking distance? They're 3-6 now, so that's going to be a tough ask. And so I can't believe I'm getting ready to ask you this. What about the resurgent Indianapolis Colts under the guidance of Jeff Saturday, now that he's put Matt Ryan back at quarterback? Are they're 4-5-1? Are they a factor here?
That's a bridge too far in this conversation, my friend. I don't want to look. All hats off to Jeff Saturday. Again, I like him. I've known him for a long time. I'm happy that he got that win, but he's not playing the Raiders without Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow and Josh McDaniels on the sideline every week.
Like, hey, Rome wasn't built in a day,
that's
Mark.
Right.
Dave.
I heard that somewhere before. They will be drafting in the top 10 of next year's draft, and so I think that's where that train will stop. But again, I think it's after you're right about the Browns being intriguing, just because if they could have gotten the 5 win somehow and been 5-6 or 6-5 with Deshaun coming back, they would have a chance. Now, you don't know what he's going to be, but they'd have a chance. And to me, it's exciting to think about those 7 teams we just rattled off, minus New England, minus the Jets, playing in the postseason. Because I just think that those are some great matchups there. no matter how you slice it. I think each team has got its own different flavor. They've all got quarterbacks who are either Mahomes, Allen level, or Pro Bowl caliber, guys who've had great careers. They've got, you know, you look at the way the Titans play the Chiefs here. You look at the way the Bills are aligned, what the Chargers can do, the way the Dolphins. Could you imagine a Dolphins-Chiefs matchup in like the divisional round? How fun would that be?
It would be unbelievable.
You're going back to the history of one of the greatest playoff games, you know, in NFL history, the triple overtime game, you know, back in the day. Yeah. That's like they would love that. I mean, just because.
And the game that caused me to punch out a small, there was a door that divided a hallway into our living room, and I punched a little window out of it after Nick Lowry missed his 50-plus yard kick.
So what game is this?
The Chiefs were down. This was the Chiefs lost to the Dolphins in the 1990 wild card game, 17-16. The Chiefs had a 16-3 lead at halftime, and then Dan Marino threw two touchdown passes. And for some reason, they were only running Barry Word the whole game. And then on the final drive, they gave the ball to Okoye, and they drove. He ran right down the field, had a big run that would have set him up in chip shot field goal territory. And then Dave Zott was called for holding, although later Tim Grunhard said it was his fault. So then I got mad at him. But then Nick Lowry, I think it was a 51-yard, or it was in the 50s, and to win the game because it was a long field goal because of the holding call, and he missed it. And then I punched out a window, and then my dad called my mom and said that you need to come over here and control your son. And then me and my friends left before my dad could get there because he was going to kick my ass. And so it's a lot. So that's what I think of when Chiefs Dolphins. Let's see if we can rekindle that.
This one wouldn't be 17-16 if they played.
That'd be the first quarter.
Yeah,
right. That's exactly right. Okay, we'll take a break. Back after this on WHB.
Did you know that Greenlight Dispensary was voted the number one dispensary in Missouri and the number one loyalty program in Missouri? It doesn't surprise me one bit. If you're looking for the best cannabis experience in Kansas City, go to Greenlight Dispensary and visit them online at greenlightdispensary.com.
Champion sound, yeah, Estelle, we about to get down. Who the hottest in the world right now? Just touched down in London town. Bet they give me a pound. Tell them put the money in my hand right now. Set up a motor, we need more seats. We just sold out all the floor seats.
Take me on a trip, I'd like to go someday. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Hashtag One Pride. As the Lions have won back-to-back games, Jeff, beating the Packers and the Bears, will they upset the New York Giants on the road?
Is it an upset? Are they not favorites in that game? You're telling me that people don't believe in the Lions enough? They got a shot. I like them to get another win. Look, the Giants have been winning. They're well-coached. I still don't understand how they are able to win games with the talent that they have, but they've done it week in and week out to the tune of 7-2. And so, I'll take the Lions this week.
Yeah.
Why not?
That's right. It's an upset. Money line, take the Lions. Okay. People have called this the Battle of Suck. People being me. Raiders at Broncos. I used to enjoy back when I used to watch Central States Wrestling at Memorial Hall on Thursday nights with my father. Sometimes they would have a loser leave town match. This could be a coach gets fired game. Raiders and Broncos, what do you say about this slap fight?
Oh, well, again.
Which quarterback will cry after the game?
Yeah, Derek Carr was crying this past week, right? I caught at the tail end of that.
Right.
I don't think it'll be Russell Wilson. How about that? I think that the Raiders without Hunter Renfrow, without Darren Waller, it's just too much to ask of Davante Adams and Josh Jacobs and the Broncos. I think the Broncos score over 20 points this week.
Really?
They've only done it like twice all year, right? Have they done it more than twice?
Let's see. They scored. They scored 23 in the loss to the Raiders last time, and then they scored 21 in the win over the Jags.
Yeah.
So they've done it twice.
They've done it twice.
Good God.
So they're going to go for the trifecta this week. They're going to get 23.
What about that, Nate?
That stat really surprised. I don't know. There have been some surprising stats that we've rolled out this week. Like the fact that the Jags had led every game this year before they played the Chiefs. Yeah. That surprised you?
Yeah. I've seen a few of their games. You know what's crazy stat? The Ravens, I believe, have had a 10-point lead in every game they've played.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
This
year.
Yeah. Yeah. How many losses? Look at their schedule down the stretch. Now that they're getting healthy, they're coming out of the bye week. They're going to roll. They're going to roll. Okay. Give me the score of the Chiefs at Chargers Sunday Night Football in front of thousands of rabid Chiefs fans. KC favored by 7.
I will take Chargers 21. Excuse me, Chiefs 21-20.
Oh, man, I was getting my pen. I was like,
21-20?
Yeah, I think it's going to be low scoring.
Okay, so now, so since you're so you're we're going big under talking on now. That.
Yeah.
And I'm going off the Titans as my template for that.
That's fine.
Titans getting
the template. I got to ask you about this before we go, though. 11 a.m. on ABC, number 21, Illinois, at number 3, Michigan. Michigan's favored by 18. Man, this feels like a trap game. Man, is it Jeff?
Nah. It's nothing? All good. No. It's
you know, they Burt can come in there and
Illinois lost to Purdue last week, didn't they?
Well, this is this week though. Burt, trap game.
Bielema. It'd be a trap game if it was on the road. It's in Ann Arbor.
Michigan's favored by 18.
Yeah. I think that they will be just fine in that game. They know what looms next week and the week after that. Okay. So they can't let it fall apart now. If they're going to lose, it would have been back in the midseason portion at Iowa, which they usually do. So this is the one. So I think a blowout's coming.
Thank you, Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
Thank you for listening. This has been the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.